swing and a belt. Well, Beal, way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over.
Here's a chance. That call. Shot rebound. Score.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to your Monday morning episode of Tall Can Sports. At the end of the 107th Grey Cup, we'll touch on that and a few more things on the line today. Matty Lang back on the show. How's it going, man?
Great, man. Happy to be on the Canadian Super Bowl edition of Tall Can Audio right here.
Well, the last, when we did the post-Super Bowl show, you know, back in January, the real Super Bowl, it had been a fucking dog of a game, man. And
was this, not fun.
This one, a little more entertaining, but certainly no more dramatic in terms of, you know, any sense of, you know, stress or I don't even know what the word I'm fucking looking for is here. But you know what I'm saying? It wasn't close by the end. Winnipeg beats Hamilton in what I think most people would call an upset. I don't think there was any doubt in before we get into it, what are you drinking tonight, man? Because we always
we gotta set that up, right? So I got something definitely new for myself. It's called Lumberjack Ale.
Okay.
It is from Halifax, I want to say. It's not I think we're talking about this Mahone Bay, Nova Scotia.
There okay
so Saltbox Brewing Company. So
okay, I'll see, you know, I have heard of them. I haven't had that one in particular, but if you'll recall, maybe you won't, I don't know. I was out in Nova Scotia in May, and we grabbed a few different like mix packs to bring back with us so we could try. And I didn't have that one in particular, but I did have one or two from the Saltbox Brewing Company. I just can't remember exactly what they were, but I seem to recall enjoying it. So
you seem to remember enjoying a beer.
Funny how that works,
You don't say.
No, I know. I'm back into the All or Nothing brew company, which is out of South Oshawa, and I'm having the Snooze You Lose, which I think I've actually mentioned on here before, but it's a honey brown lager, and it's a little sweet, but it's kind of nice. I'm enjoying that. If you're into the craft beer thing, we just had Andy Nita from the Nita Beer Company on Audio Whiplash 176. That's available now wherever you get your podcasts, or hit up tallcanaudio.com. We had lots of talk with him about... they've got an advent calendar, starts December 1st, next Sunday. So I had him on lots to talk about that. You check that one out, Matty? What do you think?
I tried.
Okay.
I could not get my hands on them.
Oh.
They were just, they were hot sellers here in Toronto.
Okay, there's a couple, nice.
I want to say they went to one or two local breweries and a couple beer stores.
Yeah.
You had to be there on day one.
Well, okay.
They were gone. So,
that's good news for them. No doubt.
To those guys. Cause that was a really cool, promotion they did. And, people obviously like it.
We're looking forward to them. They've more than doubled their sales from last year already. So, it's gone pretty well for them. So you can check out Andy on Audio Whiplash 176, in all the places I just mentioned. First couple six sips of the Lumberjack. What do you think?
Great, man.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with this.
Nice. As I mentioned, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers end a 29-year drought. Almost impressive in a 9-team league that you're able to go that long without winning a title. But Hamilton also had a 20-year drought. They hadn't won since 99, excuse me. Pretty one-sided game. I know you're not the biggest CFL guy, but this is just about 2 years to the day from when we sat outside at TD Place here in Ottawa and watched the Grey Cup. What did you make of this one and from what you saw?
So the first thing I noticed was there was no snowstorm.
No, exactly. They looked a lot warmer than...
I was not aware that you could play a CFL game without a snowstorm.
Oh, honest to God.
I thought that was part of the allure of it all.
For sure.
So I had to do some research online to figure out they could actually play the game without snow. So I thought that was kind of cool this year.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's call myself an Argo fan, right?
Sure.
So there's one thing I know, and it's like, you know, just somebody beat Hamilton for the love of God.
Yeah.
Right? Just somebody beat Hamilton. Fucking annoying Hamiltonians with their Oski wee wee.
Yeah.
And so sure. I was happy to see the Blue Bombers, you know, not knowing much about either team realistically.
Yeah.
Happy to see the Blue Bombers off to a big lead or a little bit of lead there in the first quarter. Yeah, man, their defense looked good.
For sure. And a tough game on the line on both sides, right? The line of scrimmage there. It was a war. It was a really physical game from what I could tell.
Now, again, to go back to that, you know, blue Argo, I guess double blue, right? The double blue chador.
Exactly.
Fan bias. Mike O'Shea is one of the rare guys I actually remember.
Yep.
From the Argos.
Well, and coach of the Ticats, Orlando Steinhauer, used to play with him on that defense as well. So
that was kind of really what got me interested in the lead up to the week. That whole storyline.
Yeah.
Just makes you realize how bad of a team and organization the Argos are to have these guys.
Yeah.
And to listen to what they were doing in the room and just let them walk away.
Yeah. Yeah. End up one of them with your biggest rival. You could tell right off the bat, I know you missed the first quarter, but in their first two possessions, Hamilton throws an interception. Dane Evans, you know, not a good throw. And then second possession, he drops the ball. It's a fumble. And both times Winnipeg recover and put points on the board. Actually, the first time they didn't put points on the board, just about put points on the board. Yeah. Second time they did. You know, I wonder, certainly going into this season, I don't think most people knew who Dane Evans was. The Ticats had the best record in the league without, you know, the reigning most outstanding player from last year, Jeremiah Masoli. This kid gets thrown into the, you know, into the spotlight and does a pretty nice job to get them where they need to be. But early on in the game, you know, to a start like that on your first two possessions, it looked a lot to me like the kid just, you know, was rattled a little bit being in that spot.
Definitely looked like a rookie out there, right?
Yeah.
You can play the whole year, but when you get under the big lights of a big game.
For sure. It doesn't matter what level you're at, what league you're in, if it's still in college or high school or whatever. You get to the championship game, the pressure's on. And then, yeah, like you say, now there's this many more reporters and national TV, all that kind of stuff. Man, really cool story. For those not familiar, and you're certainly going to know who he is now, but Andrew Harris, running back for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. He's a Winnipeg kid, and he puts up over 200 yards of offense, 135 of them rushing. He was outstanding in the game. First time in CFL history that the same guy who won the most outstanding player of the game also won the most outstanding Canadian. So really cool. But just to finish that off, he went to the same high school in Winnipeg as receiver Nick Dembski. So to have two guys, you know, even in the CFL, it's uncommon. You know, there's only so many spots for Canadians, and to have two guys have big impacts like that out of one high school in Winnipeg, going to make it that much sweeter, I think, for the long-suffering Blue Bomber fans.
Yeah, and specifically for Shorts guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't heard about this guy, right? The guy who's been wearing shorts ever since, has it been 20 years now?
Is it 17 years or something? Yeah.
In Winnipeg, only wearing shorts.
Would not put pants back on until his team won.
Just craziness.
Honestly, man. People are so fucking weird.
Apparently will like go out and shovel the driveway in Winnipeg cold?
Yeah. Screw that.
Man's nuts.
How many layers?
True diehard fans in Winnipeg, right? So,
and that does make this kind of
like
cool.
I just agree with you, man. Like having local guys and people who are so integrated into the community and being stars on the team as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Not just some really slug backup center or something, right? Like impact players. Really cool. And you know, especially in your Winnipegs and in your Saskatchewans and places like that, and Hamilton, to be fair, right, where there's not a lot of other big league sports. Like, they take the CFL fucking serious out there, and to see them get it done, and a team, you know, they had to, it was falling apart until they went out and got Zach Kolaros. They win in the first round of the playoffs in Calgary, win in the East Final in Regina, and then beat the best team in the CFL. Not a bad little underdog run there, man. It was a lot of fun to watch those guys.
Yeah. You know, it's, you know me, man. I typically only watch the CFL when it comes to the Grey Cup, right?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
and try to get a little integrated into it. This whole storyline, kind of felt like a team of destiny.
Yeah, it's a good point, man.
Even, you know, in a 16 league or whatever it is, like
the original basically nine,
you just roll a dice and every year and decide who wins. So, I mean, that being said, roll a dice for that many years and you still can't win.
No, it's true.
It's pretty remarkable from one side of things, but, great, great story, for football, I think. And they were a fun team to watch. Again, man, like I love great, amazing defensive backs.
Yeah,
and I'm dropping his name. You'll know it. Defensive Player of the Year on Winnipeg.
No, oh, are you thinking of Mike Jones?
Yeah,
yeah.
Wow, like
big game for him too.
Speed that guy has, and the destruction he does on the line.
Yeah,
the dirty work. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're an NFL fan, a CFL fan, or an NCAA fan. Like that's just fun football to watch.
Just tracking guys down like that, right? Like incredible. Yeah. The speed. And I really like the way they used their quarterbacks, even after they brought Caleros in, and he had clearly become the starting guy. But they used Chris Streveler quite a bit, and he was clearly the running option, right? And when they wanted to run the ball, and even on short yardage, but not always there, that's when they would bring him in. But he is good enough that he's still a threat. And the very first time they brought him in, everybody's looking for the run, and he makes a nice completion, like 15 yards, marches him, you know, gets it first down out of it. So you kind of have this game plan for what you want to do with him, but you still have to show that defense that might not be what he's in here to do. I thought they did a really nice job, as you mentioned, Mike O'Shea, in terms of how they were going to use their quarterbacks and when to do it. It wasn't a straight starter backup kind of thing. They had situations where they wanted to use each guys and handled it pretty masterfully.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting because it's a very tough thing to almost have two playbooks for two very different quarterbacks, right?
Yeah,
and their adaptability of the entire team to be able to just mix guys up like that it's a true skill and really speaks to Mike O'Shea's coaching. Quite frankly.
How about Zach Caleros? This is his third team. Try and learn three playbooks this one year. Season. Good luck, man. Yeah, incredible.
That's the kind of kitschy fun stuff about the CFL I do like sometimes.
Yeah.
How could you be on half the teams in one league?
No, I know. So we got a couple other things we wanted to touch on. I'd love to hear what you guys thought of the Grey Cup. You can hit us up at Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, like I said, we've posted a couple things about our interview with Andy Nieto there as well. So give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram. We're at Tall Can Audio. Let us know what you've been thinking of the shows. We wanted to move on to talk a little bit of hockey.
Now, Matt, before we make the big move to the rink,
yeah,
I do have some news that we were talking about earlier.
Okay,
the CFL does have a video game.
Really?
Yeah. This is wild to me because I remember one, and CFL 99, I think is what it was called.
Oh, God.
I vaguely remember that it was Xbox One game. Or not an Xbox One. The new one's an Xbox
One. Xbox One is it. Yeah, so you're thinking of the original Xbox.
The original might have been on Xbox. There was a newer...
Okay.
Like a... I don't even know if it had a license.
Well, that's what I was just wondering, right? Are there player names or is it just numbers and uniforms, right? Like,
yeah, so this one that was released just 2 years ago.
Mm.
No player license.
Okay.
So you can play CFL rules.
I think I did hear that. Like, wasn't it on iPhone or something? Like, it wasn't a console game, was it?
I'm trying to
yeah,
figure out what it is here.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Microsoft Office. Okay. Microsoft Windows Office. tell you how old I am.
Checking your email and yeah.
Microsoft Windows, Xbox One.
Wow.
And they were going to do a PlayStation 4, but hasn't been updated. So.
Okay. Probably wasn't a big seller.
It was developed out in Peterborough, so...
yeah! Love that. You know, the big gaming hub of North America.
That's it, man. Well, I mean, there you go. So you can play. You don't have to let this be the end of your CFL season, guys.
Outstanding.
You just keep playing CFL rule football all on your Xbox One.
I want to talk a little bit of hockey with you, but I want to give you a chance... Because you were a little hard on me on Twitter this week. And the last episode of Talk Hand Sports that Rob and I did is available in all the usual places. And it was done on the heels of Mike Babcock being fired. And I'm normally okay when you jump on Twitter and you call Rob a boomer and you know take these shots at him about his takes. But you were lumping me in with him. And I feel like before I can defend myself, I got to get a good grip on what your problem with my take on the whole thing was.
You know what? I appreciate you asking because I'm walking to the gym listening to this and I'm like, these boomers out here. I couldn't wait.
I'm 1 year older than you. You near boomer.
Exactly. I was just getting reared up to go. Listen, my issue with everybody's take.
Okay.
That I was hearing, not just yours. Maybe the fact was, you know, the day this happens, it was a Wednesday night, right?
Yep.
That happened. So Wednesday night, he gets fired, or afternoon. Literally, you know, the rest of my night shot. I'm just watching, looking up news. That's all I'm doing, yep. Right? Like most of us.
Scrolling through, right? Twitter, what's TSN radio saying, whatever, right?
That's right. So by the time you drop the podcast in the morning,
yeah,
you know, it's another similar take. Granted, started by Captain Blowhard, Rob.
Yep.
I think he kind of got looped into that a bit. My biggest thing with everybody's take has been, well, Sheldon Keefe, rookie coach.
Right.
Can he handle this? It is such a fallacy argument, right? It's saying like, well, we got a new doctor out of med school. Can he be a doctor? We have a pilot who just got his license. Can he drive a plane? It's an argument that you hear so often.
But you have to go to Peterborough and be a doctor before you become chief of surgery at St. Mike's, and you have to go fly cargo planes before you get to be, you know,
yeah,
U.S. Air.
Sheldon Keefe,
he's done that.
To Pembroke,
yeah,
and he went to Sault Ste. Marie.
That's right,
and he's gone to the Marlies,
right?
And now he's here, and yeah, he put up a better record than Mike Babcock did with the Marlies.
Wow.
He won something. It was something like 25 or 26 games more than him in that same time period.
Yes. You could make the argument there, though. The Leafs spend more money on their Marlies roster than anyone else does in the AHL. So he had a better team most of the time.
True.
Yeah.
I'll give you that much. I'll give you that.
Well, you don't have to give it to me. I'm taking it.
You're taking it. Taking it all. Still a little upset, eh?
A little.
The reason, like, we know this guy can coach in professional hockey.
Okay.
He's done it. He's shown. And more so than anything, coaching is managing players. It's a leadership position.
Yep.
What you're demonstrating is your ability to lead people to a goal,
right,
to organize people, to get them on the same page.
So
that doesn't change.
I agree with that. And we're going to get into what we've seen of the Leafs here in a second. But taking it back to that day and that podcast, what I know for a fact – and maybe there was somewhere else that you were taking issue with. What I said was, if the Leafs didn't think they could get back in this, they would not have called him up now. That's when I started throwing out names. You know, you saw the Oilers grab Hitchcock, or, you know, do you go grab Mark Crawford and have him finish out the season? Something where you're not throwing Sheldon Keefe into a lost cause. That was my argument for when you might go and get someone else. But if you think you're still in it and this team is good enough and they're just not being coached to the style that you want them to be coached to, then yeah, bring in Sheldon Keefe because you think you're setting him up for success. And I'm okay with that idea. My point was just, if they thought they were out of it for this year, they would go get somebody disposable, right? That you can have coach for six. The Peter Horacek, right, would be back for 60 games, finish out the year and whatever. I think the fact that they're bringing him in is an indication that they think they're still in this, they can still make it, and they just need to get this turned around.
Well, they should think they're still in it.
Yeah.
There's no reason to not think they're still in it.
I agree with that. But that was the case I was making for when you might go get one of the old retreads, was just to kill time so you're not throwing Sheldon Keefe to the wolves in a lost cause. To me, the fact they brought him up is an indicate, like, we can read very clearly where their mindset is. They're bringing him in. They think it's time. They think he can turn it around and get them going. And, you know.
Yeah, and they, like, I'll say it again. They should definitely feel that way. Obviously, the last two games were great to watch.
Yeah.
And to be a fan of the Leafs again, it was an exciting time again. This really shows you that Babcock had lost the room.
Sure looks like it. You see the story that broke tonight?
No, I didn't.
It was a story from the Sun. And normally I don't like reading anything out of the Toronto Sun, but word going around was, and they didn't name the player in the article. They said that during the big rookie season, right, 2016-17, where you brought in everybody, Willie and Matthews and Marner and Brown and all these guys, right, that Babcock pulled one of the rookies into a private meeting and just said, you know, what do you think of the team? How do you think things are going? And had that kid rank for him who he thought the hardest working players on the team were, all the way down to the least hardest working, which already seems kind of fucked up. Why are you asking a rookie to do that? And but, you know, is it identification? Is it whatever? And days later, Babcock told the rest of the team the rankings as he, you know, in his mind, I guess, as a motivational thing. I don't know. But clearly it turns everybody against each other. And apparently a few of the vets who were still around there, and you can, you know, we'd have to kind of guess, is it Ron Hainsey? Is it JVR and Bozak? Is it whoever? Went to him and said, don't ever fucking do that again, right? Like, that's some bullshit to do to a kid, A, in private, and then B, in public. There are a few other reporters now suggesting that they had heard this story for a while and that Mitch Marner was that rookie, and that that's one of the reasons he was playing such hardball here for a while now, because he hasn't been a big fan of Babcock, maybe, and, you know, he was close to requesting a trade and his agent talked him out of it. But that's the kind of shit, apparently, and we've all heard the Mike Commodore stories and the Chris Chelios stories and the Mike Modano stories and the way Babcock can be sometimes. But, you know, shit's starting to come out now that he's gone, and it sounds like it was dysfunctional for quite a while.
That's wow. That is crazy, man. I'm hearing this specific story for the first time.
So yeah.
Like, I'm in genuine shock. I, you know, especially with the Commodore and Chelio stuff,
yeah,
you know, being kind of retread this week.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, you know, people suggesting that he turns players against each other without really naming
right
how he's doing it.
Well, and you know how I felt about Spezza, right? When he came in and did that to Spez on opening night. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? You can scratch him the next night if you want, but you humiliated him in front of his family and
yeah,
all kinds. I think you hurt the organization by doing that stuff. And again, Spez had already become a popular guy in the room, and you got players already going, fuck, are we doing this now? Right? Like, I think it's clear he had lost the room.
You know, there's been a lot of, especially the talking heads on the big channels, right? Saying, well, now this is on Dubas, right? Now, why aren't we blaming Dubas for this? My thought has always been, if you looked at any coach and you said, I can give you William Nylander, Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, Morgan Rielly, and I'll throw in John Tavares for fun.
Yeah.
Would you like that to start a team?
Yeah.
Okay, who's on the rest of the team? Would you like that?
You could build around that a little.
Any coach in their right mind would be like, yeah, man, that sounds good to me.
I can make that work.
I think we can score some goals. Last year, it was fine. All of a sudden, this year, having these guys, and it's the GM.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, no, something's fishy here, right? But you could see there was the playing style was slow. They were very... the power play was so structured, even though it wasn't working, and nobody was changing, and even the players weren't doing anything different.
Right.
Which just speaks to that fear of not playing the way he wants you to play specifically.
Right.
And taking that control out of the players' hands. And, you know, they would hold the puck on the sideboards, just move it up and down, and these little cute draw passes everywhere. But shooting from the outside,
yeah,
never really getting some traffic. I don't know what Sheldon Keefe told them, but they scored all their goals from the front of the net all of a sudden. No, it was like, hey, guys, go to the front of the net again.
Some of those heat maps that the analytics guys share on Twitter in terms of where shot locations are just in these next two games are like, holy shit, right? Like, how quickly things changed.
Tyson Barry.
Yeah.
Coming out in two games, right? Austin Matthews, you know, a guy who's literally left for dead in Tyson Barry.
Yep.
Austin Matthews, one goal on the road, all of a sudden he's got two more, right?
Yep.
These guys just look like they have an energy and a spirit back to them.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing. That weight's gone.
Yeah, in my opinion, it was just time. Like, even if you ignore all the lineup stuff, and the which you can't, but he was openly insubordinate to an employer that he clearly didn't like now, and Kyle Dubas, right? In terms of some of the comments that he would make about the acquisitions that he would bring in, or, you know, he wasn't happy because when Jake Muzzin came in, because he didn't play the right, you know, he didn't shoot the right way, and we didn't like Spez because he wasn't the right type of fourth liner, and all these. Spez has got now on pace for more points than like half the forwards on the team, and he's got it in 10 less games. Like, he's playing well for a guy his age. He's almost on pace for like 50 points. If you'd have told me you can get a 50 point player for 700 grand, let's fucking do that, right? So it was time. And you know, we can kick around Babcock all we want, and we may. But unless you've got anything else on that, I am curious, you know, you've sort of started to allude to it. The Leafs do now have two wins under Sheldon Keefe. One of them pretty convincing in Arizona. Arizona's this year been a pretty stingy defensive team. I didn't feel like they played very well against Toronto on Thursday night, but it's also possible that the Leafs just played that well, right? But it's possible both were true. The Leafs played better and Arizona didn't.
Yeah.
The Colorado game, they got off to a really hot start, looked like a lot of fun, and then we started in the second and third to see a little bit of the old Leafs creeping back in terms of how they defend. But Colorado is a very good team and was chasing the lead, so that's sort of how that looks a lot of the time, right? They made it tough. Cody Ceci made like a butterfly save in the dying seconds, which was kind of wild to see. Who has jumped out at you maybe the most in these, you know, everything we're going to say here is admittedly small sample size. It's two games, but they're two notably different games than what we had been seeing before. Who has jumped out at you the most? I know you mentioned Tyson Barry, maybe beyond that, as guys who just look like, you know, a weight's off their chest, maybe a little bit.
Relieved.
Yeah, exactly.
Start at the top, man. Austin Matthews looks like a different player out there. William Nylander looks like a different player out there. They're skating with a little bit of jump in their step, if that's possible.
Yeah.
They look like they've been freed from a system that was holding them back a little bit.
Right.
And something they were just probably tired of doing, to be honest, right? Just probably overplaying that style and that management style. They look a lot more exciting and dynamic.
Yeah.
On offense than structured.
No, it's true.
Right? So I think there's been some quotes from some of the players saying, you know, we're going to be able to be ourselves, you know, and use our natural talents a little bit more now.
Yep.
And whether it's just a figure of speech or lip service or whatever it is, but it definitely looks like in those first two games that they're just moving the puck better, right? This is a highly skilled team. They're moving the puck better. You know, they brought Mitch Marner back to be with the team while he's rehabbing. He looks excited.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, there's some videos of him, you know, from the bench, passing pucks around and during practice and after that first game, and he's right in there giving everybody hugs.
Right.
It looks infectious right now. And I wonder if it's one of those things. It's like, you know, they all saw it coming and they all knew it was happening.
You're just makes stuck it worse. In purgatory waiting for it.
Right. And then as a player, it's no different than being in any other workplace, right? You know somebody's leaving. Why are they still around?
It's just awkward for everybody.
Yeah, it's just awkward. You're like, God, let's just be done with. And then, you know, the Leafs management can't fire him until, you know, they go on a little losing streak and it makes it look bad and earned, let's say, right? But I'll say this, man, specifically last night's game, Saturday night's game, you know, Nathan MacKinnon, one of the best players in the world.
Yep.
Up and scores in 30 seconds.
Yeah, that looked familiar. like 30 seconds in. Holy fuck, here we go. 19th out of 25 games where we've given up the first goal.
That's it. And then the old Leafs, we'd be done.
Yep.
And old Leafs, I mean Leafs of 2 weeks ago. Right. Not the 2015.
The Leafs of five days ago.
Yeah. They would have been over and done with.
Yeah. Well, you just tense up and you wait for the coach to freak out and what's going to happen now and... You know, when you look at that roster with 59 and a half minutes to go and all that offense, you shouldn't be overly concerned. And they didn't look like it this time, right? And You know, one of the guys who stood out for me, and maybe it's a small thing, is Travis Dermott, who looks like he has a different lease on life all of a sudden. And maybe that's because Sheldon Keefe knows him and trusts him more than Babcock did. And look, Travis Dermott still makes mistakes, and he's a young player, and that's going to happen, especially when we're going to play this kind of style and be this kind of team. But he's been flying the last two games, and he just looks like he's got a little more confidence, and he doesn't feel like every single little mistake is going to put him on the bench for the rest of the game. And he even said I think it was the pregame of Arizona on Thursday night, said, you know, what is the biggest thing that guys are going to notice about Sheldon Keefe? Is that they're going to love playing for him, which is almost like a backhanded to Babcock. And we didn't love playing for the last guy, right? And it's been really fun, man. There's been shots coming out of practices and morning skates, or even that first game in Arizona, where guys who have played for the Marlies, and you especially saw it in that first morning skate, are like pulling other guys aside and explaining what he means or what he wants. And they're loving it. Like there was one for sure where Dermott pulled Barry and Muzzin aside, and he's like gesturing. He's like, no, do it like this. And they're all laughing and smiling. And there was another one up front where it was Freddie Gauthier and somebody else, I can't remember now, talking to John Tavares, like correcting the captain on, no, like this. This is, and you can see these guys kind of going, oh, really? Yeah. Like, then let's do that. That sounds awesome. Right. So it just feels different. And yeah, it's only two games, but they're two wins, and you badly needed them. You're back within 2 points of the playoffs, granted with more games played than anyone else in the East, but it just feels like a different vibe, man. And you know, when Tyson Barrie scored that first one on Thursday night in Arizona to finally get the monkey off his back, the team looked over the moon. They're jumping up and down and celebrating, and Engvall scores on the shorthanded breakaway, and that's his first NHL goal, and the guys are loving it again. Like, it just looks loose and fun, man. Like, the team's been fun to watch the last two games.
Yeah, it's fun to be a Leaf fan again, isn't it?
For now, till the next emergency or disaster.
It was really one of those things where I wasn't even enjoying watching them play.
No, you felt like you were tuning into a loss. Like before
I,
it started,
I felt like it was homework.
Yes,
it was homework. I'm like, well, I'm just here because I'm a Leaf fan.
Right,
like, got to be here. It's like Monday morning. I got to be here.
Yeah,
all the time. And you know, there's been some schedule quirks, like you said. Like they've played more games than everybody, all on back to backs, which is never great. We always on back to backs with the second game being at home,
right?
And the first one being on the road,
yes.
Where the visiting team's already waiting for you in Toronto. Yeah,
exactly.
But I digress. NHL. Fucking. You have computers to figure this shit out.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking figure it out. It's really felt fun.
Yeah.
And like you said, right, we're going to give up some goals. There's going to be some mistakes. But this is the Leaf team we all signed up for.
Right.
Right? Like, they're going to lose some games 5-4. And they're going to win a lot of games 4-1, 4-2, whatever it is.
Not 4-1. I hate 4-1.
You got to get that monkey off your back.
I know. It's a thing. It's a thing.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
This is supposed to be the Oilers or the Islanders of the 80s, right? We're supposed to play run and gun hockey here.
Yeah. Live and die by the sword, man.
You had a coach who did not want to play that way.
Right. Do you, like, to me, I can almost see already what Travis Dermott was talking about, right? On Saturday in, Austin Matthews on Thursday in Arizona plays a ton of minutes, which maybe he wouldn't have normally done. On Saturday, he's got a bunch of guys coming home. First of all, he puts Nick Shore in the lineup for Nick Batan on the fourth line. It's not a huge thing, but Nick Shore is from Colorado. It's a homecoming. Get him in there. Get that guy engaged. Make him feel like he's a part of it. And, you know, he no doubt would have had family and friends around, just like Spezza would have on opening night, but that's a whole other thing. Get him in there and get that guy on your side, right? And Alex Kerfoot and Tyson Barrie are also coming back to Colorado after having been traded out of there to Toronto over the summer. So on the first shift of the game, it's Barrie with Riley, and it's Kerfoot with Matthews and Nylander, and you know those aren't the lines and pairings for the night, but they're in the starting lineup. And it's little things like that where why wouldn't the coach just give you a bit of a boost, right? Just allow you to have that little thing. And I think it's little things like that that make people want to go through the wall for you just a little bit more.
They say, right, he's a player's coach. And I think that's definitely showed so far, right? Like with these little tinkering things, putting Shore in, definitely, like that's a huge thing. Right, yeah. We talked about it being like, well,
and he scores a goal.
Yeah, but that's what guys will do, right?
Yeah,
you're playing at home. You're like, you get to visit once a year,
right?
Put the guy in the lineup. Like, is there a significant change from any of those fourth line guys if you sub him in?
No,
probably not. So play to the room a bit, right?
Yeah.
Play to your players. Let them, and maybe they reward you with a game like this.
Right.
Where you're a little amped up playing at home. Play a little out of over their head, and maybe that helps them for the rest of the season as well.
Yeah, I think these
are the easy things, right? This is management
yes.
stuff, right? This is giving an employee a day off because you notice they're tired.
Yeah,
like that sort of shit that you're like sending them home early, getting them a half day or whatever, you know, bringing in lunch when the morale is low.
Right.
And it just feels like now it's easy because he's the new guy, right? The new guy can come in and basically do anything and just walking on water. But it definitely sounds like this is the stuff that Mike Babcock was missing.
I'm not crazy, right? Kadri looked fired up to be playing the Leafs, too. He looked like he had a hell of a night, man. He was everywhere.
You know, I was watching the game with a couple of the boys last night. And, you know, the one guy looks over at me after Kadri's first shift and goes, I might jump if Kadri scores the winning goal. I'm like,
yeah. Do you remember the night? Do you remember the night that Sundin came back to Toronto for the first time with the Canucks, and that had been a whole gong show. People were mad that he wouldn't waive his no trade the year before. Then he goes to Vancouver as a free agent and he comes back in, and I'll never forget it. And maybe we'll share the video in all the usual places. And when he first comes back, he's getting booed when he's coming out on the ice. But then at the first commercial break, they do the tribute. And people are standing and cheering, and they come back from commercial and people are still giving him a standing ovation, and they go to take the face-off and the ref backs out of the face-off because they're still going crazy and cheering, so he doesn't want to drop the puck yet. Matt's kind of stands up once more and kind of acknowledges the crowd, and you can tell he's getting emotional, and he yells at the ref to just fucking drop it, right? I got to get this over with. And then they go back to booing him. And that's fine. Like, it's a show. You had the show of respect and whatever, but it goes to a shootout. And I'll never forget it, man. He is the deciding shooter in the shootout, of course. And the crowd boos him all the way in. He scores against us to win the game. And the crowd loses their minds cheering for him, right? Like, that's sort of the vibe you get out of, you know, I know this was in Colorado, but when Kadri comes back to Toronto, that's a popular player. People loved. You're pissed about what happened in the last two playoffs. You know, you knew maybe it was time to go the other way, but you love that guy. And what your buddy's saying in terms of, I might jump, like, because it'll make me crazy or whatever. But
yeah,
you have that tie to that guy, right? And he clearly looked fired up to be playing us.
Yeah, he's having a good season out there in Colorado.
He
is. Surprise.
Yeah.
He's a good hockey player, right? Like, he's, I think we've talked about this at some point, or I was talking to one of the boys about this. It's like, he's going to be one of those guys, those legacy players.
Yeah.
Once he retires, he'll be back in the fold in some sort of capacity, right?
And
to the community, because, you know, local guy, not from Toronto, but a local guy. And I'd say, you know, because of his religious background, he's definitely the most popular and successful Muslim hockey player.
I think he's the only so far. Yeah.
And definitely the only one who's been drafted in the first round.
Yeah,
right?
Like, for sure.
Had
an impact like that.
And it had that crazy impact. I think he's been great for growing the game and in the community. And I would think it's only a matter of time, you know, once he finally retires. And it looks like he's got a lot of good hockey left in him. So probably nothing upcoming,
right?
Hopefully for the guy. But definitely he'd be one of those guys. You know, I think of those guys like Matt's, right? Who, you know, they're just always around the rink now.
For sure.
They're never too far away, are they? As opposed, you know.
Well, Tucker is the guy that I always think of when I think of Kadri, right? Like, Darcy Tucker. He doesn't work for the team, but he's still around all the time. He's at all the alumni stuff, and people loved Darcy Tucker in Toronto because he was a prick, right? Like, he had some talent. He could score 20 goals and whatever, but he'd happily go to the boards with you and whatever, right? He'd fight you. He'd hit you. He'd whatever. He was a he was a dick, and so was Kadri, and you loved that when he was yours.
Yeah, he was, man. I remember him coming over from Tampa.
Yep.
And,
remember who he was traded for?
I do not.
Mike Johnson.
Get out.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Straight up.
Wow. That's like trading sandpaper for a wet diaper.
I like Mike Johnson as a broadcaster, but yeah, as a player, it was pretty soft, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do not remember. Wow, that's great. That was a great trade for the Leafs.
Yeah, for sure was, man.
You know, in retrospect, hindsight being what it is, that was a fantastic trade.
It's a steal.
I feel like Mike Johnson might have been a little bit more of a fan of the restaurants and restaurant owners in Toronto than Darcy Tucker was. But otherwise, he's a fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard too many stories of broken glass windows.
Oh, okay.
After a couple late nights from that Leaf team.
No, dude.
That I don't think Mike Johnson was doing.
Probably not. No, probably not. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on tonight, man?
I just wanted to bring up, point it out to you. I mean, it must be really nice to talk hockey with a Leaf fan instead of that bumbling idiot.
Honestly.
After all that.
Who likes that?
I feel bad for you.
Likes that Ottawa team that, unfortunately, for quite was like 1 point behind us before we fired the coach. That was getting a little tense around here, man.
Yeah, you could hear his smugness coming over the
for
podcast.
Sure.
I was just over it.
Our own boomer, right? And stop lumping me in with that, man. I make mistakes, but I don't want to be a boomer. And I'm taking you with me. Like I said, you're 1 year younger, man. If you're throwing me under there, fuck you. You're coming with me.
Listen, I'm gripping onto that youthfulness with my nails right now.
I've noticed a couple things over the last week or so, or week or two, up on the injury blog at Matt Does Physio on Instagram. What's kicking around and what might be coming up?
So we're going to be doing something a little new. I'm glad you brought this up. We're going to be doing something a little bit new on Matt Does Physio. Ooh. We're actually going to be doing more of we're going to start to break some of the injuries down, and we're going to start with this weekend's games from the NBA and the NHL via video.
Really?
So we're going to be doing a little bit of a video setup. We're going to be testing this out now. So we start that tomorrow. So we really should see some stuff get posted. Today's the drop of the podcast. So later today, for those listening
Monday,
in the morning,
yeah.
There'll be some video content starting to come up. The plan is to have me and a fellow fan of the games kind of talking about injuries.
Nice.
So something a little different that we're going to try out and test out and, check it out. Give us some feedback. Let us know how it is. We're going to try to keep them all nice and short and insightful, as always. And tying in everybody's basic injury, everybody like the Joe athlete's injuries to the pros and what they're going through as well.
I think that sounds really cool, man. Maddie is also doing Movember. How's the Mo coming along?
The Mo is looking real nice right now. Thinking of keeping it. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, okay.
It's growing on me. It's kind of like Venom and Spider-Man, the Moe's Venom in this game. In case you wondered.
Awesome.
So yeah, it's come along nice. It's it got to the length where I started bringing out the mustache wax.
Oh.
The other day, so
guy.
Yeah, it's starting to twist the mustache on the ends. My hope is to get a little rolly fingers like.
Oh my god.
So we'll see how that goes. I got another solid week left.
See if we can get to Yosemite Sam or something. It would be fantastic, man.
That would be a great Halloween costume next year.
We will share Maddie's Movember progress. I think we've done it once, maybe twice, but once anyway so far at Tall Can Audio as well. We'll hit that up before Movember ends in case you want to donate and follow along there. Movember, always a really good cause. I've done it a couple of times. Maddie's pretty hard on it. He sticks with it. So you can find it's Mobro.co/Matt Does Physio, is it not?
That's it. Perfect. Nailed it.
All right. And we will share that if you're in your car listening or whatever and want to come back and find it afterwards. We, of course, are on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio. We're at facebook.com/TallCanAudio. We continue to expand out all the places you can find the pod. We're on TuneIn Radio. We're on Stitcher. We're on iHeartRadio, as well as your usual Spotify's and Apple Podcasts and the like. Matty, as always, it's been a pleasure, man. Thank you for doing this.
Man, anytime. Love it.
This wraps up our post-Canadian Super Bowl edition of the podcast, and we'll catch you all on the next one.
We're not going to be fucking sunk this year! Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.